Professor Barry Shoup, Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University, amongst other things. Professor, good afternoon to you, and thanks again for being with us.
Good afternoon, Simon. Hi.
Prof, before we even got out of the starting blocks this afternoon, Madeline wrote a message and asked me to ask the prof if he's heard about the 62nd Israeli breathalyzer test for the virus.
Nope, that I can't say. No, I haven't. I know that's breathalyzer for alcohol, but I never heard of it for the virus.
Okay, Prof, well, there's your homework for, I love that. There's your homework for Monday. There's the professor telling the professor what his homework is for Monday. But, maybe if you look into that, that would be great, Prof. But today we're going to be talking vaccines, the when, hows, and whys.
Yeah, just a very quick, it's a huge subject, obviously, and just one or two words about it. We all know that obviously the game changer, the holy grail on the whole pandemic is a vaccine. That's really the only way that we're going to get out of recurrent bouts of the coronavirus. There's obviously still a major susceptible population. The virus is out there, and that's the only effective way of controlling is to have a reasonably cheap, widely available, safe, effective vaccine. And that realistically is not going to be around for, a year, 18 months, maybe even longer. So the big question is, why does it take so long? And why, I mean, come on, guys, you've already had 4.5 months or 5 months. You should have had a vaccine by now.
Well, exactly. Obviously, yeah.
Exactly. You know, in the old days, it was a lot easier. The kind of theory is that you knew that if you got infected, you'd have an immune response, and that would protect you if you subsequently got the same organism, the same virus. So all you did then was to grow up the virus, or in this case a virus, you'd grow it up and you could either kill it chemically or inactivate it chemically, or you could kind of what we call attenuate. In other words, you'd grow that virus in an artificial way. In other words, either in cell culture or in egg culture and so on. And in that way, it will still multiply in the individual that you're giving it the vaccine to, but won't cause disease, but still stimulate the immune system. And that was great. That worked for a lot of the viruses that we have now, a lot of the vaccines we have now, polio, influenza, measles, mumps, rubella, and so on. The problem came in the 1960s when they went along the simple track, and a lot of the vaccines that they started developing things, in fact, the early measles vaccine, and other vaccines, dengue and others, they found that if you did it this way, when they subsequently got the infection, they actually had more problems. It actually caused more damage. The reason is that they actually stimulated the wrong branch of the immune system, and that caused what we call immune enhancement. That actually the vaccine caused disease when they subsequently got the infection. So they had to go back to the drawing board, and now there's obviously a much more rigorous way in which vaccines are developed. I don't know if you've got time to go through all the steps, but, first there's a proof of concept in the laboratory, then experimental animals, then you go through phase 1 trials in humans, phase 2 trials in humans, phase 3 trials in humans. That takes a long time and also a lot of expense. So I say a long time. The rotavirus vaccine, which is used for children to prevent gastroenteritis, that took about 3 to 5 years, this whole process, the phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3. And of course, companies would invest tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, and then if it flops along the way, they've kind of lost that.
Yes.
So a consortium has been now developed called the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation. Now this is a non-governmental body which is funded charitably by Wellcome Trust, by the Gates Foundation, EU, 8 countries, and so on, to fast-track this whole process, to concertina it down. And this is actually what's now being developed for coronavirus.
Yeah,
so maybe next time I can go into a bit more detail.
I would love you to do that. And also I'm very excited to hear what you've just spoken about, because that means there will be no profit motive if they do stumble upon a virus vaccination. And that is really important. Yeah.
Sure.
So let's hold that over. Prof, as always, thank you so much. And Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for your input this week.
Shabbat Shalom.